Welcome into the show. You're the Cure right here on KRFE AM 580 with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, of course, with Veritas Medical. Always check out the website, veritasmedical.com. And, of course, our number at the clinic, 1-855-6-VERITAS. Of course, along the way, if you have any questions for the good doctor, feel free to give us a call at any time throughout the broadcast, 745-5800, and you can text in as well, 806-745-5800. Also on the show, my lovely bride, Melody Wilkes, health coach.
Hello.
Hello, how are you? And hello, Dr. Edwards, how are you, sir?
Good morning, Wade, doing good.
I'm glad to see you here. I was just going to say that I don't know what topic you have today for the program, but I started my intermittent fasting last week, down 4 pounds, feeling great, and I'm back on today, and I fast a full 48 hours today and tomorrow. The next, I mean, I had dinner about 8 o'clock last night. I won't eat again until Tuesday at 8 o'clock, and then Wednesday, Thursday, I go basically dinner to dinner through Thursday, and then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I eat normally. And I did not experience any problems with that. Had a few hunger pangs here and there, but nothing that it was driving me nuts.
Good.
And so I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, it really is. Once you get in the habit of it, it's kind of freeing. I mean, you don't.
Yeah, it's free. Yeah. It saves money too.
It saves money. You're not thinking about food all the time. You're not getting hungry all the time. Typically, as you get more insulin sensitive, your energy goes up as you start producing more ketones, which is what you produce when you burn fat for fuel. It makes your brain work better. I mean, there's so many benefits, but so much of it's just habit. So what did you do when you were fasting? Water, coffee, bulletproof coffee, anything?
Well, Melody was doing the bulletproof coffee.
I've done that. And I was going to ask, how many times can you have that? Just once in the morning and that's it? Or
it varies. Dr. Pompa, who's one of my mentors, who's probably experimented with more patients than anybody I know of with this fasting, he'll have them actually check blood sugar levels and ketone levels in response to bulletproof once a day or bulletproof twice a day versus black coffee versus water. Different patients respond differently as far as their insulin, blood sugar spikes, and their ketones. Dr. Pomp actually personally does better with the bulletproof, but he just does it in the morning only. But then there's Dave Asprey, who, you know, he's a bulletproof man. He came up with bulletproof coffee. He does it twice a day, morning and noon. He does his bulletproof coffee. So bottom line, I think you kind of have to experiment case-by-case basis. Every patient needs to sort of watch their symptoms, watch their weight. If you want to check your, you know, poke your finger and check your blood sugar and your ketone levels, you can do that too.
Mine's been so varied. Like right now, I feel kind of hungry and spacey. But like sometimes I'll be okay. Sometimes I'm tired. Sometimes I'm like chatty Cathy and I'm like, blah, 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 blah. I mean, I've worked out on it. I didn't this morning, but... And I was going to ask you, when you work out, if you do it like I, you know, fast from last night till noon. So if I'm going to work out, I usually work out around 8:30 in the morning. Uh-huh. So is it bad to work out around that time and then not eat till noon? Or should I do it like right at the very end of my fast and then eat after?
The studies show that it's not bad to exercise any time in there.
Okay.
But so whatever fits your day, but the most beneficial is right before you break that fast. So like right before noon,
okay.
If you can do even just a 10-minute, you know, burst training, would be most optimal, because at the end of that fast, what you're doing, your growth hormone levels are rising, and that exercise, especially the burst training, will jack it up even more.
We'll
get your
if you're like hungry and your stomach's growling and you're like,
yep.
I mean, it's still okay to
30-90, 30-90, 30-90. Sprint, rest, sprint, rest.
Okay.
For 10 minutes would be awesome.
Do you think it's better to do cardio or strength?
Probably cardio is going to get you a little more on the growth hormone,
okay.
But either one, and combining them, strength in a burst manner.
Right.
So during that 30 seconds, do some strengthening, but do it kind of rapidly to where you get your heart rate up to would be awesome.
Okay.
But if your stomach's really gurgling, that would tell me that, number one, you're not fully fat adapted yet, meaning your body's not quite into full fat burn metabolism, which it can take many, many weeks for some people, even up to 3 months for some people when they're intermittent fasting to flip their switch all the way to fat burn.
Yeah, I still wake up and I'm hungry.
So part of that's time, and you can speed that time up by doing block fasting, which is more the 48 or 72 hours instead of the 18 hours. And another way to speed that up is adding the medium chain fatty acids or the coconut oil or just fat in general, like you are with the Bulletproof. But that MCT oil would be good. The more you can supplement with that good fat, the more you'll flip that switch. But it may just be a matter of time, too.
But I've noticed that when I do start eating again, that I'm not eating as much. So I feel like I'm getting less calories in that period of time when I do eat, just because I'm like,
it's fine.
I'm not as hungry as I was.
It's totally fine. It doesn't matter if you eat 500 calories or 2,000 calories. What matters is those calories that you're eating need to not spike your insulin. What we're looking for is to avoid insulin spikes, which you are just by avoiding food, period, during the fast. I mean, you can directly correlate the number of insulin spikes throughout a person's life and a shortened life. The one way to extend life, and not just extend life, but a quality where you're not having cognitive decline like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and all this inflammatory disease, is decrease your number of insulin spikes throughout your life. So you're doing that with a fast, but then when you do eat, you also want to keep your insulin spike to a minimum. So what I'm getting at is grains and sugars. That's what spikes your insulin. So it doesn't matter if you eat 500 calories. If that fills you up, fine. You know, people that are trying to maintain muscle mass or even add muscle mass, you know, some young guys, athlete kind of guys, you know, they do want to push the calories harder when they are eating. I mean, they can still fast. You can intermittent fast and do great with muscle building, but you do have to get the calories in. But otherwise, it doesn't matter.
Still okay to take all your supplements?
Yeah, it is. Okay. Fine to do.
I try to go for the 40, because like right now I'm in my 48 hour fast right now. And the reason I do that, and I wanted to get your feedback on this, was because once you go 36 hours, from what I understand, once you go after 36 hours, then your body is going into a detox situation.
Right.
Yeah, his kidneys were hurting real bad.
Yeah, that was weird. The first time I did a 48-hour fast, at hour 36, somewhere in that time frame, which would have been, I think, Tuesday morning when I woke up, or early morning, I got up to come do the radio show, and my wife happened to be up. She was getting ready, and she said, well, how do you feel today? Because I hadn't eaten anything since Sunday. And I thought, man, I feel good, but man, my kidneys kind of are sore for some reason. I think that was a detox situation going on.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, especially for patients that are a little more toxic or a little more inflamed. Mm-hmm. And the fat is where we store most of our toxins, because the vast majority of toxins are fat soluble. So you can dump toxins for sure during these fasts. You are dumping toxins, and if your kidney and liver isn't up to speed, isn't, you know, there's certain nutrients that your liver and kidney need to perform optimally, and you can kind of overwhelm them. So there's something to be said for that, for kind of easing into these fasts, or definitely staying very hydrated. Some people go so far as to kind of prep the liver and kidney prior to the fast.
I prepped mine with Coors Light. Is that okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He does.
Prime the pump there.
I keep telling us, like, oh, I have a fast tomorrow.
Well, I mean, it was a football game, right? I mean, Super Bowl and all, but.
Well, and that's part of the beauty, too, of this fast. I mean, like the Super Bowl weekend, you can just not worry about it. You can feast all weekend, just kind of turn.
And that's what I did.
Turn off the brain a little bit, not stress out about calories in, calories out. You just feast, preferably feast on something a little more healthy. But, I mean, even if you don't, you know, if you go into that fast the following days, it's great. It kind of.
But is that hard on your body if you.
If you feast and fast?
No. If you're eating kind of poorly, making poor choices, and then fast for 2 days, isn't that a little rough?
No. I mean, anytime you eat poorly, that's rough on your body.
Yeah.
But because you follow it with a fast, I wouldn't say it's any rougher.
Okay.
I would say, in fact, it's better, because you're allowing your body a chance to just
clean out the toxins.
Clean everything out. You drop your inflammation, insulin spike, and all that. So, I mean, that's probably the most preferred thing to do after a weekend of eating food-like processed substances.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't eating just total junk and garbage. Don't get me wrong. I mean, now I did have a bowl of ice cream. Yeah, I had a few beers. But I ate some healthy lamb cooked on a grill. We had green beans, organic green beans. We had organic potatoes.
I'm not talking about last night's meal alone.
Well, no, but I mean, okay, but well, you're my wife. Tell me where I went wrong. That you're the health coach. What did I eat that was so terrible in my 3 days of eating?
You really want to go there?
No, this is a learning experience for me. I mean, so what was it that well, yeah, I did have Taco Bell on Saturday night. I forgot about that.
And I'm super, like...
good self-analysis there.
We literally had a fight.
The truth comes out.
I know.
Taco
Bell. I don't have to say anything. Just look at him. I stare at him and he starts
going... Oh, yeah.
But we had a fight in Natural Grocers over meat. We were literally like, I had the hormone-free meat. And he's like, no, no, no. I was like... I don't want the chunky meat. And he's like, no, and he's like, it's expensive.
We don't want y'all fighting about this. You know, that fourth pillar of peace.
I know.
Stress is going to screw up all the health benefits.
Like, wait, we're fighting over meat in the grocery store.
Yeah, like, well, so no, I felt fine. Like though that besides that lapse of judgment, we went to the movies on. Friday night, that's when it was, actually. Because Friday night, you know, after my fast, basically.
Barbarito.
Yes, I had that. But usually Monday, well, the Monday through Thursday is when I'm fasting. Mm-hmm. Okay, now the two meals I get, which would be essentially Wednesday night and Thursday night, are very healthy home-cooked meals.
That's good.
So for 4 days, I'm doing really well.
Yeah.
And then come Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it's marginal at best. It really is. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I'm not... purposely sitting out there just eating junk all the time. I'll slip in a junker here and there. That's true. But for the most part, hey, I'm looking better. I'm feeling better. The mental clarity, all those things really come into sharp focus after a fast.
Well, and for sure, we'd want you to always eat healthy food. I mean, everything that goes past your lips should be, you know, God food, not man food. But while you're working on getting there, it's so easy to just not eat. I mean, that's one of the most, Dr. Pompa says it's the most powerful healing tool in his toolbox. Of all the things a doctor could do or advise, that's the most powerful.
I don't understand that. I mean, I understand it, but why is it not, though, taken off? I mean, we see so many fad diets from paleo to the Mediterranean to, you know, low carb, high good fat diet, on and on and on. Mm-hmm. And you got millions and millions of Americans who are type 2 diabetic and all these issues. And as I explore the fasting, and I mean, that's something that nobody really talks about as really being able to treat these illnesses.
Yeah. Well, this might sound a little jaded, but there's a lot of money in educating, advertising, brainwashing, whatever you want to call it, people to eat. You know, did you get your 3 glasses of milk today? Mm-hmm. Did you get your 3 squares? Did you get your snacks? You know, we've been told for generations now, it seems like, to eat all the time. You got to eat. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Just all this stuff. So we are deeply, deeply down in this thought process of, we've got to eat food all the time. So this is so counter of what we've been taught and infomercialed and just, I mean, our culture and our media just push it so much. But if you think back over time, I mean, every religion, every people group, generations and generations for thousands of years, everybody's fasted. I mean, every major religion fast. It's just been a part of our culture historically as human beings. And partly because food just wasn't available. I mean, the feast and famine days, or there was some game that you shot and cooked, or you missed your buffalo that day, or your deer, and you went without food for a while. So it's just,
almost
too easy and too natural.
Anybody recommend not fast? Like, what about a type 2 diabetic?
Type 2 diabetics are the ones I recommend they fast the most because they will reverse their type 2 diabetes in a heartbeat, typically, with intermittent fasting. But it's definitely not taught in medical school. I don't think it's taught in any, you know, the dietitian or nutrition schools. The American Diabetes Association doesn't preach it. The diabetic educators, you know, in our hospitals and clinics that are trained traditionally, they don't teach it. you know, it just hadn't been part of the curriculum. The science is out there. I mean, the science has been there for a long time, even back into the early 1900s. And even further than that, I was reading the other day, the ancient Romans, they fasted their epileptics, the people with seizures. They thought it was because these people were possessed by a demon, so they'd lock them up in a room all by themselves and wouldn't feed them. And what happens, I mean, that's a fast. And when you're fasting, your ketone bodies go up, because basically you can burn, like we've talked about before, sugar or fat for fuel. Your cells can use either one. But if you're not eating, then you burn up all your sugar pretty quick that's floating around in your bloodstream. And then glycogen, which is a stored form of sugar in the liver, you'll burn through your glycogen pretty quick when you're not eating. So then all that's left is fat. So you start pulling fat out of your fat cells. And even someone like me that's 160 pounds, 6 foot tall, lean, I've got 45,000 kilocalories in me stored up.
And you fast still?
Yeah. And so when you're in that state, when you're burning that fat, you produce ketones. Ketones are the byproduct of fat burning. Well, these ketone bodies are very beneficial for the brain, for the neurons in the brain. And what they do is cause the seizure threshold to decrease, so you don't get seizures as often. So the ancient Romans didn't know they were dealing with ketones, but that's what was happening. And the brain much prefers to run on ketones and will run much more, will burn those fat and ketone bodies much more cleanly than sugar. So it works great for seizures. And it's, I mean, there's published data in the 1920s, 1930s, that the ketogenic diet, which is a diet that is based in eating fat.
Got a question on the text line
seizures.
About that. Jennifer asking, I mentioned fasting to my husband the other day, but he gets headaches when he doesn't eat lunch or dinner. Is there a way to minimize or avoid the headaches?
I get that too.
So that he can begin to burn fat.
Yeah. That most likely is because his brain and his body in general is well entrenched in burning fuel or burning sugar, for fuel. So what I recommend for your average kind of American, first, just get to 3 meals a day. Cut these snacks out. Just get to 3 meals a day. You know, do that for a little while. Try to get more of a high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb diet, which is exact opposite of what most Americans do. Most Americans are on a high carb, moderate to high protein, and low fat. So we got to shift that ratio. So 3 meals a day, more fat, moderate protein, low carb. After you do that for a week or two or three, then just drop 1 meal. Out of that 3 meals a day, just drop one. But when you're doing that, I'd supplement with more fat. So the medium chain triglycerides you get at a health food store, fish oil, flaxseed oil, or just eat more fat. Probably he's going to need more magnesium. Headaches oftentimes respond to magnesium. Magnesium tends to be the mineral that we waste or we deplete the most with a high grain, high sugar diet. We deplete our mag. Stress depletes our mag. And when you don't have magnesium, there's a whole host of enzymes in the body that won't work right. But a very common result of low magnesium is headache. So it could be a matter of he's detoxing. It could be a matter of he's addicted to sugar instead of fat. And it could be low mag.
For that magnesium, would you recommend? I know you said the best Fulvic. That has it, right?
That has it. I also like reacted magnesium from Ortho Molecular. It's magnesium glycinate, magnesium chelate.
I need to write that down.
I mean, there's lots of different mags. The Dave Asprey, I was mentioning him earlier. If people want to Google on his blog, the Bulletproof Rapid Fat Loss Protocol, I mean, he has an actual protocol that he recommends. And the first part of it, he says, pretty much like I just did, first you start with eating what he calls the Bulletproof Diet, which basically is what I just said, higher fat, moderate protein, low carb. He also recommends you get blood work if you haven't had any to look at the liver and kidney function, just to make sure your liver and kidney function look decent enough on the blood work. You can still have detox symptoms even if your blood work looks decent, but at least take a peek at it. But then he recommends just eating that diet first, you know, for a week or two to try to prep the body. But then when you actually get into the fasting portion of that, he's got probably 10 different supplements he's recommending. Part of that is magnesium.
Tell me the magnesium, orthomolecular, but you said something else with the magnesium.
Glycinate.
Glycinate.
G-L-Y-C-I-N-A-T-E, I believe.
And is it okay? Obviously, it's okay to take that on an empty stomach, then?
Yes. And magnesium chelate's another good one.
And again, that will help with the headache deal.
Right,
the
headaches. Because I've been getting headaches.
There's also topical magnesium. You can actually rub it on the temples. That's a gel or a cream.
Yeah.
And these you can find at a good health food store. Natural Calm is a powder. I'll recommend that in the evening because it'll tend to make people a little bit sleepy.
See, that makes me hyper. I've taken that stuff before.
Makes
my daughter sleep like a rock.
Yeah, some of us are exact opposites. Yeah,
it does make me a little spastic too.
Yeah, I don't use it myself. I prefer the Reacted from OrthoMolecular.
Reacted, which, that's the word you said.
I recommend trying different ones, seeing what your body likes the most. But back to his protocol, the mag. I mean, he's got vitamin D, krill oil, K2, vitamin K2, some vitamin C because vitamin C is an antioxidant, so it's going to gobble up.
How much vitamin C?
He recommends 1 to 2 grams. I usually say to bowel tolerance. Some powdered C and just do it until you get loose stool and then back off a little bit. And he's also recommending glutathione. Both of those are antioxidants. So oxidative stress is what's going to drive a lot of the headache and some of the detox symptoms. So throwing some antioxidants in the mix is a good thing.
Okay, I keep interrupting you, but tell me this guy's name again. What website are you looking at?
Dave Asprey.
Asprey?
Yeah, Asprey, I believe. He's the bulletproof man. He's the one that coined the phrase bulletproof coffee and came up with that recipe, which for those of you who didn't hear in our previous shows, bulletproof coffee is simply your regular coffee, you brew it, but then you pour it in the blender and you add some grass-fed butter or any butter, but I prefer grass-fed, and coconut oil, and you just blend it up, and it becomes this frothy,
it's
coffee.
Good. I put cinnamon, nutmeg, and unsweetened cocoa powder in there.
Yeah, that's what I put.
And I'm not a coffee person.
Yeah.
But it's not bad.
I don't do the bulletproof coffee during my fast.
No, he just...
All I'm doing is just basically water. I mean, just staying hydrated. Mm-hmm. But I didn't do any of that stuff at all. But I will tell you that I continue to take my good organic multivitamin, my mm-hmm. testosterone, mm-hmm. which is, I take that, and my DIM, and that's pretty much it during my fast. But I will tell you, though, that I feel great. I mean, what amazes me about this, by the way, is that we don't understand, I didn't realize this till last week, that we're just chemically toxic. I mean, we're just toxic. And once you start doing this, you feel so much better.
Yeah. Yeah, people have gotten used to just feeling kind of sluggish energy-wise, sluggish brain-wise. I mean, we just kind of trudge along and think, well, this is part of it. You know, this is just
getting older.
And you know, it made me really sad last night watching at the Super Bowl when former President George H.W. Bush came out.
Mm-hmm.
He just looked so decrepit. And mm-hmm. I know he's old, but mm-hmm. we're not designed to just fall apart like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what his medical issues are, but it made me just think, man, if he would have known about eating real food, if he would have known about intermittent fasting, just these basic concepts, it would have preserved his cognitive function and his physical function. I mean, I totally believe that. I mean, there are people walking around 90 years old that are spry and have their wits about them and can, you know, still work out in the garden. And
I tell
all
you,
of us should be that way.
Inspired. There's a lady, Google, like the oldest living bodybuilder. I think she's in her 80s. She looks phenomenal. I mean, her body literally looks like a 20-year-old body.
Yeah.
She is muscular. She's beautiful. I mean, her face looks older, but does she look like she's in her 80s? No way.
Yeah. Well, people just don't realize that this epidemic of disease, I mean, Alzheimer's, it's supposed to triple in the next 20 or 30 years.
Ugh,
it's crazy.
It's
people
too.
Just sitting around.
Disease.
It's going to be one of these statistics. 1 out of 2 have cancer. 1 out of 3 have heart disease. I mean, I read a study the other day. I was trying to find it. It was 1 out of 1 have dementia. And the study basically was saying, and this was from University of Virginia back in 2010, cognitive decline or neurodegeneration of some sort. So this researcher was basically having people fill out questionnaires. And every single person in the study, and these were 28-year-old people and up, And it was 100% of the participants in the study had some sort of cognitive decline, which can be just that little bit of brain fog where you can't remember somebody's name, you can't find your keys, you're thinking it's just because you're overly stressed and you have too much on your mind. But it was 1 out of 1 had dementia. But 1 out of 2 will have cancer, 1 out of 2 right now have depression, 1 out of 3 have obesity, 1 out of 4 have diabetes, 1 out of 4 have allergies, 1 out of 10 have asthma, 1 out of 10 have ADD, 1 out of... This lecture there, they said 1 out of 45, but I just saw the other day it's now 1 out of 26 have autism. I mean, this is craziness. None of this, and this is in America. When you go look at other industrialized countries, these numbers aren't anywhere close to this. I mean, we're number 48 in health outcomes. I mean, it's crazy that people just are sitting around not understanding this is totally not normal. This isn't how it used to be. It's not how it's supposed to be. It's not how it is in the rest of the world. And we're just sitting around as Americans getting sicker and sicker and sicker. And medications aren't the answer.
Medications
will treat the symptom and slow some of this down. But actually, the cumulative effect of the side effects of the medication, along with the fact that you're not dealing with the root cause of the inflammation, so you're still going to be, you know, having the effects, it leads to a shorter lifespan and all these diseases. I mean, it is absolutely, you know, people say, Dr. Ben, you're doing this alternative medicine now. And I kind of look at them and say, yeah, that's right. We need an alternative to these statistics I just mentioned. We've got to get on a different path here in America with our health outcomes, or we're all going to be in wheelchairs and not able to talk or move very well.
I've had people say, though, you know, everything's a GMO. You say you're trying to get away from GMOs, but, you know, everything's a GMO and organic. I mean, there's pesticides are on everything. So how are you going to...
Well, that's true. When 70% of the rainwater has glyphosate, which is the main ingredient in Roundup, I mean, it rains on the organic and the non-organic crops for sure. But where you can decrease your burden...
Do it.
Just like with lipsticks. There's a list of lipsticks on the Environmental Working Group's website that have lead in them. No, you know, go on there and look and don't buy those. Buy the ones without the lead. Know where these toxins are.
Underarm deodorant.
Yep.
I use Old Spice because it doesn't have it's the only one out there that I'm aware of that doesn't have aluminum in it.
Yep.
And of all things.
Most of the antiperspirants, when it's just trying to get you not sweat, will have aluminum. If you just deodorize where you're still going to sweat but not have the odor, those typically won't. But it's stuff like that. I mean, fluoride. Fluoride has no value in your body whatsoever, but it's very detrimental. It will bind up your iodine receptors, and then your iodine receptors can't do their job right. And iodine is needed for sure in the thyroid, but people forget it's the breasts, the ovaries, all the glandular tissues need iodine. Every cell of the body has an iodine receptor on it. We need iodine for everything, and nobody has iodine in their body. But we are full of fluoride, full of chlorine, and full of bromide. These are the other halogens that are in the family of iodine. So just understanding this and chunk your fluoride toothpaste and get the fluoride out of your drinking water. So there's just this cumulative effect of toxins. So the guy that says, yeah, there's you know, pesticides on everything, for sure, but that's part of the problem. That's why people are getting Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and all those statistics. 1 out of 1 have dementia in America? I mean, come on. So where you can, try to reduce, but then if you're eating real food, and especially if you're doing intermittent fasting, your body's going to be more equipped to handle these toxins, more equipped to detox the toxins, and just better able to function. That's why you see all these great health outcomes with intermittent fasting.
Do you go more in intermittent fasting? Now, there's the 16-8, which is 16 hours of no food. That's kind of what Melody's doing over there. I'm doing a little bit more aggressive with the 48-hour, but do you do a 48-hour or more?
I mix it up. I've done everything from 3 days, 72 hours, to 24 hours. Occasionally, I'll do the 72, but it's more convenient for my life to do the 18, and then occasionally, I'll pick a weekend to do 48, or maybe a 24.
Oh, you'll fast on the weekend?
Sometimes.
I mean, wow, not me. I couldn't do it.
You know, I need just peace and solitude, and maybe you know, going out of town, my wife and I are going to a bed and breakfast or something. But it's the 18 that does better for me, and then I'll throw in a 24 here and there. But that's the beauty of it too. It's whatever fits your lifestyle. Some people don't fast all month long, and then they'll fast for a whole weekend, but none during the week. Any amount of fasting is beneficial.
Okay, I have a question for you. What can you do to ensure a successful fasting, like while you're fasting?
Don't spike your insulin. So don't cheat and break the fast.
Okay, that's what it. Can you help, like you had said before, like bone broth or...
I mean, it depends on what you're trying to achieve. If I have patients with leaky gut and really inflamed gut or inflammation in general that's really bad, the bone broth would be more beneficial for them. It's going to help seal that leaky gut up. But intermittent fasting all by itself closes the tight junctions.
Wade said something about, which I was like, nah, I don't think you can do that, putting protein powder in your coffee or whatever.
No, I didn't say that.
You did too.
No, I said protein powders, from what I understand and read, that like the whey proteins are really not that good.
No, Wade Wilkes, that's not what you said.
Well, am I
easy
right?
Now. We're going to break this fight up.
I
don't recommend protein powders during a fast because protein can get turned into glucose, sugar, and we want to avoid that.
Right.
Like I use
fats,
Dr. Axe's
yes.
bone broth.
Yeah.
I don't use whey.
Well, I would check. I don't know. I haven't read his label. Check the
but
protein.
But if it's got stevia in it or anything like that, it will break your fast. Like Dr. Edwards is talking about, you don't want to do that.
Just fats is what I would
know. No, even stevia.
Well, the guy who wrote...
Stevia still jacks your insulin, doesn't it?
I would prefer not any sweetener, even stevia, during the fast. Stevia
right.
is great when you're not fasting.
I read the guy that wrote the faster fasting diet or whatever, some medical doctor. I can't remember his name now. But I was reading some of his stuff. And he again, like Dr. Edwards has said, it's dependent upon your schedule, what you feel comfortable in doing. But he highly recommended a 24-hour fast twice a week. That to do that. Some do the 16-8, some do the 48 hours or more like I'm doing. It just depends on what you can comfortably do. But I will tell you that I think it's pretty simple. It's easy to remember if you just go dinner to dinner. That's a 24-hour fast. If you just do dinner to dinner.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, I know you're not doing that because that's probably a little bit more intolerable. But later on, as you become more used to your 16-8, 16 off, 8 on, then you can probably do dinner to dinner and feel great.
But I can tell just from the year I've worked with Dr. Edwards, I mean, before I came to you, there's no way I could have done a fast. I would have been, felt like I was in a coma.
You would have called 911.
I mean, there's no way.
The more inflamed people are, the more stressed they are, or just the more standard American we are in our diet and lifestyle, the harder it's going to be to get there. So if you know, listeners out there do need to kind of analyze where they're at, and like I said earlier in the show, you may just try to slowly get to 3 meals a day and then try to get it more to the fat, high fat, moderate protein, and go slow with this deal and just slowly push those hours closer and closer together.
Good point.
Like Wade's saying.
But Wade inspired me. Because he did it for 48 hours. And I kept checking on him. I was like, are you okay?
Yeah, she asked me every hour.
Do you need some coffee?
I mean,
are you okay?
She goes, are you feeling okay?
Do you need some water? Green tea?
I'm doing great. I mean, I was just doing water. I didn't do any.
He's like, no, honey, I'm fine. I was like.
Well, I was afraid of the, I know the bone broth had been mentioned. But, I was afraid that any, besides water, H2O, good clean water, that I would break the fast because I could feel it and it was feeling wonderful and amazing to me anyway. I wasn't having headaches and those kinds of things, but I didn't want to break the fast by the doctor who said the 24 that did wrote the book, the fast diet. He says you can have up to 500 calories in that 24-hour period, but it's got to be the healthy fats that you talk about. But even then, I'm thinking, I don't trust myself.
No,
because if I do 500 calories, I'll say, what's 500 more? And then you're not doing it.
Right.
And sometimes when
I just stay away from it.
Turns everything back on. It's like...
Yeah. But he said in a 24-hour period that the research his research had shown that people could do 500 calories in the 24-hour window of good, healthy fats. But I'm not willing to do it because I know me.
Yeah.
And I know how my body would react to that.
Yep.
If I did 500 calories of just, let's say, avocados, if I mashed up an avocado and had 500 calories worth of mashed up avocado, I know right then and there, even though it's a healthy fat, that my insulin, my brain would have turned on and said, hey, you're hungry. You better eat something.
Yeah.
So that's why I didn't do it.
That's why patient know thyself is what Hippocrates said.
Yeah.
You got to know yourself. You got to know your strengths, your weaknesses, your blind spots and all that. And if you don't feel like you need to do that, 500, mm-hmm. don't. I mean,
yeah, great. I didn't.
And there's so many different ways to do this. And research shows that even just 8 hours of not getting the intake, you still get some benefit. I mean, 8 hours is nothing. Most people do that in their sleep.
Right.
Well, I have to admit, I do eat, like, I've been trying to make it a fat. I do, like, an egg at about 9:30. Because mm-hmm. if I'm hungry, I can't sleep. And I get so restless.
Yeah. You're probably just going to take a little longer, you know, be one of those 2 to 3 month people. But everyone's different. Females in particular, there's so many hormones involved when you're spiking insulin and what that does to your estrogen. And, you know, it may just take you a little bit longer.
I just envision my body burning the fat in my thighs. And it motivates me to keep going.
Oh, Melody, that's good that you envision that. Anything
no, I'm
to keep
like,
your motivation up.
The back
going.
Of my arms. My body's beating on my arm flap.
You look great.
Nice.
But just envision that inflammation going down. Envision your growth hormone going up 1,300%, your brain neurons firing. I mean, our neurons will be more protected and more able to connect to each other when you're fasting because of those ketones. It's so neuroprotective. It's awesome. So
it's the one thing that I've read that says it's the only diet you can put your brain on.
Yeah.
Because it really does clean the brain.
Yes, wow. It does. And we
That's
all need
cool
that.
And we do need it.
Toxins tend to store mm-hmm. is in the brain.
We need to take a break.
Yeah, we do. We'll come right back. Stick around. We got plenty to go. If you have a question along the way, 745-5800. Welcome back to You're the Cure right here with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. We've been talking most of the program about intermittent fasting and how that can be beneficial to your health. And, of course, the test subjects today on the show is yours truly and Melody Wilkes.
Wade's doing the hardcore fasting. I'm doing the
You're doing the 16-8, which is fine. Not nothing.
But like, it's big for me.
But like what Dr. Edwards says, whatever your body feels comfortable with doing. Again, if you want to stretch it out there 3 days or, you know, I personally think most people can do, in my opinion, I think most people can do dinner to dinner fast, fairly reasonable, fairly easy without any challenges.
Especially if you're busy. I have found if I keep myself busy, then I'm not sitting there thinking, I'm hungry.
Well, once you're fully into fat burn metabolism too, I mean, you'll come up to that 24 hours and even not be hungry and kind of just say, well, forget it. I'm not going to eat. It's kind of in my way to do that. So when you really are in fat burn mode, you won't be hungry and you'll forget that it's time to eat. But, you know, I want to reiterate to people, one of my employees at the office, Angie Romans, used to be our office manager. Now she does our orientation visits. She historically has ridden these done bike races, you know, the long 60, 70, 80 mile bike races, and would always carb load before the big race and all the, or before workouts in general. So it was a real psychological barrier she had to, you know, get through that you don't have to carb load and you do have all these extra calories available to you to burn. So she intermittent fast and she eats more ketogenically, which means high fat diet, and has plenty of energy through the bike rides now. But Angie was doing the fasting and it was sort of getting a little bit of an issue on the weekends because her husband and her, you know, socialize on the weekends or go out on the weekends and meet friends for dinner. And, you know, eating's a real social thing. And it was getting to be a little bit of an issue in their marriage. And I told her, Angie, just forget about it. Forget the weekends. Just eat and eat whatever. It's okay. Even go out, have a drink with the girls or whatever. Just chill out and eat. It's okay. And me telling her that kind of released her psychologically, mentally, that it's all right. You don't have to do this 24/7 all the time. So she has learned that the social time of eating on the weekends can still be that. She can go on the weekends, eat, have fun, go out, not worry about quote-unquote dieting or not worry about really anything. I mean, she won't even eat perfectly clean food on the weekend. But she knows in the week she's fasting. She feels great. All the benefits come from that. So, you know, when you know you have a dinner party coming up or birthday party or an office party or the weekend, you know, enjoy it. Enjoy the social time and then fast on the other days.
Yeah, and it has to be part of you. It has to be a lifestyle change, and you're so correct about that. You can't – that's why I firmly believe that at least in my – and everybody's lifestyle is different. But for me, a 24-hour fast is really not that big a deal because when I look back at my history – I would, you know, I work here till 3:30, 4 o'clock every day, and around 11:30, I'd be starving. And I'd think, well, I better run down to the Taco Bell and grab some lunch, and then come back to the radio station or whatever. And I started thinking, man, that's really kind of a pain. And if I just work through that and go dinner to dinner, then I don't have to worry about lunches. I'm already at work. I don't eat breakfast before the show because I'm up so early anyway. And I just skip lunch and then go to dinner. It really, I think for most people, if they're working normal jobs, 8 to 5 kind of stuff, that the 24-hour deal is very easy to do.
It is. And when you think back historically, the Greeks and Romans and some of these other cultures, that's kind of what they did. In the evening, they'd come together after the day, and they'd sit down and have a long 2-hour, 5-6-course meal and get probably 2,000 calories in. But it was only at night. They didn't eat breakfast. They maybe ate a little during the day, but it's really coming together at the end of the day, this huge feast in a multi-course meal that took 2 hours. And that would be a beautiful way for everybody to eat. And again, this isn't – people have to get out of the mindset of calories in, calories out, and just calorie restriction. You know, that's kind of the mode. A lot of people who, quote-unquote, diet in America, they cut their portions down. They just, you know, eat less and count the calories, and because they're in that old mindset of calories in, calories out, burn more out than you put in, which is totally false. The science doesn't support that at all, nor does just anecdotal evidence. I mean, think of your own history of trying to do that. Did it work? Not really.
No, it doesn't.
So it's not a matter of purposefully reducing portion size or calories at each meal. It's skipping meals. And it sounds similar because the calories are probably being reduced, but it's the reaction in the body is totally different. If you're eating 3 meals a day and just smaller portions, you're keeping the constant ability to get glycogen, glucose, insulin going in the body all the time. And that's what we're really trying to avoid. So it's just a little tweak in that mindset that it's not eating less, it's eating less often. That is the key. And I just want to run through some. I made a list of all these different health benefits to just encourage and motivate, even if it is the fat on the thighs or the triceps you're trying to use to motivate you.
But whatever works.
A short-term fast, the literature shows short-term fasting, which is what we're talking about, intermittent fasting, 18 hours, 24, 48, a 67% increase in luteinizing hormone. That's the hormone that tells your testosterone to be produced. So, Wade, you mentioned taking Testosterone, which is a great herbal supplement. It's a blend of different vitamins and herbs. There's published data showing it increases testosterone 67% of the time. But the exact same thing, 67% increase in luteinizing hormone to testosterone, which results in more testosterone production just with fasting. I mentioned living longer. Studies show the people that live longer and healthier and more cognitively resilient have overall in their lifetime a decreased number of insulin spikes, i.e. fasting. So you're going to slow the aging process with intermittent fasting. Intermittent fasting also fixes leaky gut, I mentioned earlier. Stem cells are stimulated by fasting. Stem cells are the kind of the baby cells that can turn into any new cell. For example, neurons in the brain. Neurons come from stem cells. So these stem cells will be stimulated by intermittent fasting. You make more neurons, your brain stays more cognitively alert. Increased number of mitochondria when you fast. The mitochondria are the energy factories inside the cell. When you have more mitochondria, your cell has more energy to do what it's supposed to do, to repair itself and to perform its functions. So brain cells, heart cells, kidney cells, liver, every cell, you increase your number of mitochondria. You increase ketones. Again, that's a byproduct of fat burning, and that happens when you're in a fast. Ketones turn off your bad genes, like some of the cancer genes. Intermittent fasting in general will turn off pro-inflammatory genes. Just by fasting, you're turning your genes off that produce inflammation. And it turns on the anti-aging genes just from fasting. Nothing else. Just skip meals, you're going to turn on anti-aging genes. Autophagy. Autophagy is when the cells kind of self-implode or digest themselves. So your bad cells, your dysfunctional, unhealthy, bad cells will destroy themselves in the first 18 to 24 hours of a fast. Our body normally should be undergoing this process all the time, so your dysfunctional, damaged cells would disappear instead of hanging on and being more likely to turn into cancer cells. So every fast that you do gets rid of more and more and more bad cells, bad mitochondria that aren't working right. Intermittent fasting is the greatest hormone sensitivity or sensitizing agent that we know of. It will cause you to be much more hormone sensitive. Intermittent fasting increases growth hormone 2,000%. Growth hormone is the hormone that you normally produce at night when you're asleep, and it repairs all your damaged DNA, your damaged cells, your damaged mitochondria. So it should be called the repair hormone, but we call it the growth hormone. So these are just a few of the things that intermittent fasting does. So very, very, very beneficial. I highly recommend everybody do it, but depending on where you are in your health and where you are in inflammation, you may ease into it.
And don't go eat junk afterwards. Again, go eat freshy or go eat real food.
Yep.
Once you come off your fast, don't do like I did over the week. And actually, I felt kind of guilty about that because I thought, well, you know, I've done all this great work for the last 4 days and I'll just go eat something. And I was the first to tell you, wasn't I? After I had that junk, the one time. Anyway, I felt bad afterwards. Mm-hmm. I felt not just psychologically, but my body thought, what are you putting in here? What are you putting in the gas tank? Give me some good, clean, fresh food. You know,
I just feel like you work so hard, at least I do on a fast, and I'm just like, I don't want to blow it with one meal or something. You know?
Well, you won't, but like Dr. Edwards said, I mean, and again, some people take it to the extreme saying, well, if I fasted 4 days out of the week or 2 days out of the week, as some doctors have recommended, then that gives me a license to steal for the rest of the time. And I don't think it does. I think you still need to eat clean, healthy food.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's a way to pervert everything. And that's one of our temptations, to pervert all the benefits of that fast, is just to go eat junk. I mean, you'll still get the benefits, but it'll be blunted, and it'll be so much more beneficial if you would just eat real food, especially a higher fat food. One other thing I want to mention, Dr. Pompa really promotes this, energy bits, which is basically, it's a snack. If you're hungry, especially as you're transitioning into these intermittent fasts, if you're not used to it, and you're getting hungry, but you want to not break that fast, you can eat these energy bits, B-I-T-S. Basically, they're spirulina, and it just helps you be able to fast a little bit longer.
Spirulina.
Yeah,
is that a vegetable?
It's an algae. similar to vegetables.
Oh, do you know what that is? I'm sure you do.
Part of it, yeah. It's in. I think Dr. Axe has it in his green formula.
Oh. Yeah, it's one of these superfoods. I'm reading here that the World Food Bank, NASA, Olympic athletes, they've all declared it, you know, this most nutritious superfood. And it's because it's nutritionally dense. It has a lot of the phytochemicals.
Interesting.
That vegetables have. But it's an algae, but it'll give you the energy, and that's something you might keep in mind as you're trying to transition into this. But again, just fats. MCT oil is probably my favorite. You can just take a tablespoon of that and drink it. You don't have to put it in coffee.
Yeah, good point.
There's really no taste to it. So eat more fat if you're having trouble or if you're getting hungry. But physiologic hunger really should go away 48 to 72 hours. Anything after that where you think you're hungry, that's a psychological hunger.
Well, that's what I noticed. At hour 44, I was counting the hours. No, I wasn't really. But as I looked up at the clock, because Melody was asking me every hour, how are you? How are you? I'm like, I'm fine.
Because I just know how I would.
But I'll tell you, beyond 40 hours, I thought, well, I'll just go to Wednesday. You know, I'd fasted all day Monday, all day Tuesday, and I was getting ready for Tuesday late evening dinner, and I thought, I could go to Wednesday. I might even go to Thursday. I mean, because at that point, you're right. Once you go beyond 36 hours in that 40-hour range, the hunger pangs are pretty much
gone.
But
when you do the one I'm doing, you're still going to get hungry,
yes,
right?
Yes, you will.
It depends. Some people do, some people don't.
Well, that's true.
The less insulin sensitive someone is, the more hungry they're going to be.
So hopefully, the longer I do this, the less hungry I'll
get. You should work your way.
And if you're
into
feeling
it,
like, well, I'm just kind of stalling out, then switch something up. You know, like if you're doing the bulletproof coffee twice a day, try without it. Try regular coffee or tea or water or bone broth and do that the next week and just see, did that help me? Do I feel even better? Do I feel worse? You'll mix it up. If you're just kind of stuck in this rut of whatever, 18 hours or 16 hours, try switching up. Do a 24. Do a 48. Just make yourself do that and see. Sometimes just switching it up like that will be the kind of switch, flip on signal the body needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And again, vary it up. I mean, month to month even. Week to week if you want to. Yeah, but just do it.
Dr. Pompa calls that diet variation. I mean, Pompa's all about ketogenic, which is a high-fat diet. And he's all about intermittent fasting, which is obviously skipping meals. But then diet variation is the third component to what he preaches, meaning mix it up. Sometimes do the 48. Sometimes do the 24. Sometimes do the 18, sometimes go a lot longer, but just always mix it up. Your body will get stuck in a rut if you're doing 18 hours every single day for 3 months. Your body's going to get kind of used to that. Mm-hmm. So mix it up a little bit. Throw in some feast days. Throw in a little bit longer fast. Just do something different.
Yeah, good point.